Hey guys, welcome to our podcast, Heist and Slice, the true crime podcast. Well, 1 week we talk about a heist, the next we talk about a slice. I'm Nora.
I'm Shelby.
I'm Nora.
And this week, it's a slice.
You can't take my identity.
Dang it.
You don't want it.
No, I don't.
No, it's bad. Yours is much better than mine.
A little bit.
That's rude. Your life is much more interesting.
My life isn't much more interesting.
Hey guys, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been bad weather.
Yeah, bad weather, bad choices.
Just bad weather.
True. All right, today's a slice. What do you got?
Ever heard of Jim Jones?
No.
You've never heard of Jim Jones? I feel like once we get going, you're gonna be like, oh, I remember this.
Maybe. Was I alive during this?
No, but it's like it's a big thing. Like, I'm sure you probably ever heard the phrase, "Don't drink the Kool-Aid."
The cult guy.
Yeah, I got it. I figured this wouldn't be so rough on you. I mean, it's rough anyway. I mean, it's death, but
mass
somebody's
death.
Throat's not getting slit or anything, so.
All right, well, let's dig into this.
So, Jim's real name is James Warren Jones. He was born in Indiana, close to Indianapolis.
Okay. It's like 4 hours from here.
Is it really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
I think I've only been once.
Oh, really?
Or twice, maybe.
Where'd she go?
What's there?
Alcohol.
Okay.
And crabs.
And what?
Crabs.
That you eat?
Yeah.
What if I don't like crabs?
I don't like crabs.
Okay. So he was born in a house that was considered a shack. He was literally born in the house. I'm sorry. On May 13th, 1931... So the town he lived in, the population was 1350, so bigger than we are, really. Are we smaller? Are we bigger now?
I think we're 1,900.
Something like that.
How much is him?
1,350.
Okay, so a few more people.
Yeah, so around probably close considered our town.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was about 55 miles east of Indianapolis.
Ooh,
so the way that this town was set up, there was 13 businesses and 5 were coffin makers, 1 stoplight, and There was 13 businesses, 5 were coffin makers, 1 stoplight, and in the middle of the town was town hall, and the rest were 5 churches.
So Robinson County.
Basically. Is that Robertson County?
It's been a long time since I've been there, but I feel like they only have 1 stoplight.
I don't think they have any
stoplights. And it's just a flashing light. It's not even like a legit stoplight.
So his father's name is James T. Jones.
Oh!
Yes.
James
We don't talk about him much, so.
Jones.
He was in World War I. He was a vet. He was actually discharged after an accident happened.
Honorably discharged?
Yes. And it's even said that his mother actually belittled his father a lot, like in public and in front of him, because he was disabled, leaving her to fend for the whole family. So at that time, women weren't really doing that, and she was forced to work.
Bitchy about
it, huh? Yeah, she was forced to work in factories and waitress. She never wanted children, and she let that be known quick that she never wanted children.
Oh, this is gonna be great.
Yes. So Jim. He goes by Jim. Jim never saw any like affection. At all.
He had an only child?
Yes, he was an only child. So he actually had a neighbor that would look after him and take him to church with her. So he found a love for church.
This is going to be great.
Later, James would claim that his father beat him, and he even portrayed him as a Ku Klux Klan member. And it's even said that his best friend in school even said that he was a Ku Klux Klan member. So this led James to not following his dad's footsteps. His mother even instilled it in his brain to not be like his father. He wanted him to make something of himself. So he stood for equality. It's even said that he would go to these churches and ask why they weren't interracial? Yeah.
Yeah.
And the churches were like, well, kid, hold on to your britches. He's 10 years old talking about,
in the 1940s.
Yeah. That's how long ago it was.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, this talk didn't come about until, like, the... Like, they didn't actually start doing stuff about it.
Right.
Until the
but it's crazy to think...
60s?
It's crazy to think that it wasn't that long ago that people were segregated.
Right.
Yeah. It's crazy. Anyway. So his mother and his father split up, and his mother moves him to a new town, Richmond, Indiana. His mother gets remarried, and James... Or Jim. I have James in my notes a lot, so sorry for the confusion. He decides that he's going to start going to finding his own churches because now he's moved away from his neighbor that used to take him to church. He, as a teenager, he wasn't considered, like, a popular teenager. Like, he actually didn't have very many friends at all because his beliefs were kind of off-putting.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Also, it was 1964 segregation ended.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I looked it up.
I should have looked it up and put it in my notes. But my notes are kind of all over the place because there's a lot going on so quick. And there's more to it, but I only touched base with Jim. Because there's a lot. And I watched a lot of documentaries on this beforehand. And then now I've watched more, so some of it's kind of
He's a big, charismatic man.
He was, yeah. And he did a lot of good. Like, we're going to get into that. He did a lot of good. It's just somewhere it went sour. Quick, too. So, at the age of 17, Jim gets a job at a hospital, and this job, he moved body parts.
Ew, like,
And cleaned up vomit, and he loved it. He loved it. He loved his job.
Who is letting a 17-year-old move around a severed arm and leg?
That's exactly what he was doing.
The fuck?
He even cleaned up.
What was that job description?
He even cleaned up, like, after they would do autopsies and stuff.
Yeah. Ew. Did you autopsy at the hospital?
Back, yeah.
Hmm.
What do you think the morgue is?
Is it at the hospital?
Yeah.
Why did I think it was at the police station? The fuck? Okay.
Okay, moving on. So in 1948, Jim graduates. And that same year, he meets a nursing student named Marceline.
Marceline.
I love that name. Ain't it cute? They married in June of 1949. In 1951, Shelby's cat. In 1951, the couple relocated to Indianapolis. Jones attended Indiana University for 2 years and then took night classes at Butler University. This is just a side note. He does go on to earn a degree in secondary education in 1961.
That's secondary education?
Yes, so 10 years after he started school. Hmm. But that's just a side note. Within this time, Jim actually announces that he's going on to be a minister. And that's in 1952.
Okay.
He got a job as a student pastor at Somerset Methodist Church. By 1953, Jones was making a name for himself in his state as a healer and evangelist.
Hmm.
Evangelist. He was interested in integrated services, but the church that he went to and served at the time was just like, no.
Oh, I believe it.
Soon Jones branched out on his own, forming what was called Wings of Deliverance, and in 1959 in 1955 it became the People's Temple. So Jim Jones Church was called People's Temple. And
I didn't, but it was still segregated, right?
Yeah, no, not for Jim.
Oh, Jim had his own church, so yeah.
He left this church, and in 1955, he funded the People's Temple.
I missed that part.
So, I didn't put this in my notes, but it also stated that the reason why the temple's name had changed is he actually bought a building that was once a Jewish temple, and it had temple written on it, so he just wrote people over temple, and it became People's Temple.
Oh.
That's why the name changed.
Okay.
Yes. So to help his following, he actually bought some time on an AM radio station, a local AM radio station, and preached over this local radio station for like an hour. And people fell in love with him. He was like charismatic. He promised a bunch of stuff. He was just really well liked. In mid-1960, Jones moved his religious group to North California.
Oh. Yes. That's a big jump.
Yeah. More than 100 members actually followed Jones. But he wasn't...
Jesus Christ.
Sorry. Shelby's got a parents, puppy.
Yeah, he was a foster, and she ended up adopting him. And we kept him as a foster, and she went out of town this weekend, so she asked us to keep him. And he is loving the cats right now.
Yeah. Jones and his wife had a couple of children, I'm sorry. One biological and...
Oh, they got married?
Yeah. Remember I said they got married?
I thought you said they got together and moved.
He married Marceline in June of 1949.
Jesus, sorry. It's okay. Also in the morning.
Yeah, well, and I actually did the timeline. That's why I've got notes everywhere.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm listening.
It's okay. I don't know where I'm at now.
They had children.
They actually adopted children, and he ended up calling his family a rainbow family.
So they had children of their own and adopted.
Yes, of different races. Like, he was very avid that...
How many did they have altogether?
I want to say there were 7 children.
Woo!
I think. Maybe. That might be wrong. So then he started preaching in San Francisco, opening his own church. But he also traveled in buses to different churches. Jim used to claim he was a healer. Mm-hmm. He would call people out of the crowd, which he actually placed in the crowd.
Oh, little con man.
Yes, he had an inner circle. He let people in on it. You're going to say you have cancer and I'm going to heal you, basically. You
know? Little con man. Yes. Little con action.
He would also send nurses out to the crowds and would say, oh, I think you might have cancer. And they would drop, as they were like swabbing their mouth, they would drop like chicken liver in their mouth.
And chicken liver?
Yeah. He would like do some, I don't want to say seance, that's wrong. He would do some preaching over them and then lay hands on them and then they would cough up the chicken liver.
This is actually a pretty common con. Yep. I think it was mostly women pulling off this con.
Well, at this time, but Jim Jones was. So.
Yeah, but I think.
Oh, yeah, it's
like
it's
back in the 1800s, it was more popular for women.
Yep. So that's how he got his following, is people honestly believed that he was healing these people. Yeah. As part of his teachings, Jones discouraged sex and romantic relationships.
Oh, man.
He, on the other hand, has several sexual partners, but his wife knew about it. He set her down, and it was like Marceline, because Marceline somehow, at some point in time, got disabled. She was bedridden for many a days. She did something to her back. I can't remember, and I didn't write it down. But so he was like, look, I'm a man, and I have needs.
And you ain't feeling them needs.
And I love you, and I still want to be with you, but I need
if he really sexual loved her,
attention.
He wouldn't be going out sleeping with other women. I don't get that.
Exactly. Eventually, all the women in Jim's inner circle would become his sexual partner.
How many women?
He believed it didn't matter what age. It didn't matter. He believed
that... You don't have a number?
No. Because, his following ended up, going to thousands. So, it's
hard
to
tell.
But I don't know how many people was in his inner circle. He even had a child with one of his... I wrote side women. I shouldn't have said that.
He didn't use condoms?
I don't guess so.
My gosh, STD must have been riddled through that colony.
Probably. Well, this time it was just the church. They were just living, He wanted people to donate their whole lives to their church. He actually talked people into donating a lot of their money and a lot of time.
This is a cult.
It becomes a cult.
It's already one.
He actually did some really good, though. He would run soup kitchens, pay tuition for kids for them to go to college. They even bought a bunch of houses and turned them into dorms for the children.
Oh, was he getting paid for these things?
Well, he was, but that's one of my side notes here. He actually, the money that was donated, he didn't pocket any of it. He lived as though he was just as one of his followers. He didn't want people to think that he was better than them. He was actually...
But he could have sex with everyone, but no one in his congregation could have sex.
Actually, he turned out... At first, he was good. He did good. He just had weird beliefs, I guess.
Along the way.
We shouldn't judge, though.
He took a wrong turn.
He did. Well, he actually started doing drugs, so...
Oh, here we go! Cocaine, heroin, what we got?
Well, a lot of his followers were older, so it was easy for him to get pills off of his followers. He could just say...
Alzheimer's pills?
I don't know. Is there's no such thing as Alzheimer's pills, is there?
I don't know. Dementia pills? What kind of pills do old people take?
I don't know.
Heart pills?
I don't know. Probably, I would say pain medication is what people go for.
Oh. I wasn't going for that.
Pain medic is...
Do a lot of old people on pain meds?
Well, yeah.
Oh.
They're old.
Yeah, but...
Your body goes south.
Yeah, but so does your heart and your liver and your kidneys.
Well, a lot of people are on...
So I figured they'd be on, like, heart meds or your brain.
All I saw was he would do uppers in the day so that he would stay awake and downers to go to sleep. I don't know what that means.
Lovely combination.
Right.
It means he's manic during the day and sad at
night. Right. So, whilst being a drug addict, he becomes very paranoid.
Oh, didn't see that one coming. Yeah,
very paranoid. He's convinced himself that the CIA is on him, that he's being investigated. Of course, he is being investigated. I mean, people...
Are losing their life savings because of this man.
Well, and it's essentially becoming a cult.
Yeah.
Which is...
Is that something they follow? FBI?
I think so.
And cults? Yeah. Are cults technically illegal?
I don't think so. If it's religious... I don't know. Shelby's going to look it up, guys. So there's going to be a brief pause. That we'll edit out in a second. I don't think so. I think you can't, especially in the United States, if it's religious, you can't stop somebody from practicing their religious beliefs. Now, if they're doing harmful things, I'm sure... Anyway, Jim Jones is known for his black sunglasses that he wore. The reason why he wore them all the time, day, night, is because his eyes were always bloodshot and watery from all the drugs that he was doing. He actually told his followers that the reason why he wore the sunglasses, though, was because they couldn't look him in his eyes because they glue. So, you can't look me in my eyes, son, because if you look me in the eyes, your soul will burn.
I feel like they've done a lot of TV shows about this guy. Like, oh, they crime
have.
Shows.
Yeah, they have.
Also, it's kind of complicated, but pretty much cults are not illegal because of the religious aspect.
Yeah, I figured. So, because of his paranoia, in 1974, Jones buys land in Guyana.
Indiana? California?
Guyana. It's a state in northern South America.
Oh, so we in fucking South America.
Yeah,
now.
We go tropical. I wrote it down. In May of 1977, Jamestown. It's Jonestown. In 1977, Jonestown opens.
So he's in South America.
Yes.
He's in South America.
Well, he sends some of his followers first to cut out and make a town, basically. And then while he sent some of his followers, he's still in the United States preaching about what's fixing to happen. So I'm going to promise this utopia to you all. You all save all of your money, all of your life savings, and we're going to the tropicals to be able to live in peace. I'm promising you a utopia in South America. All the people were made to work 12-hour days building their compound. They had nightly meetings / worships that would last until almost 3 o'clock in the morning. So they were working until 6, going to worship and staying there until 3. Now, mind you, he's doing drugs. So he's
a horrible
on a bender, probably.
Cult sheep.
They got little food and no money. And the money that was actually brought in was actually his followers' Social Security payments or money that
now
was sent in from families.
Illegal, right?
That's illegal. You can't cash somebody else's check.
Right.
But he held them. Like, any mail that came in, he read your mail. And if it was negative, he would either throw it away. And any mail that was going out, he would read it. And if it was negative, they would send it back and say, you need to say other things. Yeah. There was no privacy. But Jim had a nice cabin and ate well.
Ooh, man, did he have his... if he got a mullet, he's almost there, and some tigers. He could have been the Tiger King.
Tiger King. Family members back in the U.S. started getting concerned.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't get a hold of their family members. And when they did get letters, they were awed. They were just talking so highly of Jim and of...
So at this moment, none of the actual cult followers have been, like, drugged in any way.
No.
Like,
no.
They're just because, taking well, in
they followed
drunk
him.
Drunk and
yeah.
charismatic.
Yeah.
And the he didn't. Power.
He
the
didn't.
The power of that charismatic. Oh, I wish yeah. I was charismatic. I'd dominate the world.
He didn't force anybody to go either.
That's what I'm saying.
They just followed him. And like I said, at first, he did really well. Like, he did good things for even, like, people that weren't followers. He did things, you know, nice things for different ethnic backgrounds.
I wonder if being charismatic is something you can learn or just something you're born
with. It's something you're born with.
Damn it.
Sorry. Anyway, I didn't put my guard on.
I noticed that.
I just noticed it. We're not picking up. Or we're pausing a lot. Anyway.
Probably pausing a lot. Yeah. In the morning.
Back at Jamestown. Because, you know, everyone's starting to get concerned in the U.S. for their family members. But back
yeah,
to Jonestown.
But no one in Jamestown.
Jamestown.
Jonestown.
Jonestown. We're going to continuously say it's Jonestown. I wrote Jamestown.
Oh, I was about to say.
I did that throughout my notes. Jim is getting even more paranoid. So, he locks up everyone's passports. Yeah. He takes control over everyone, basically, so that nobody can leave. But some people are like, I'm leaving. I have the money to leave.
Now,
I'm leaving.
He's in South America, right?
Right.
So the U.S. can't touch him at this point,
exactly.
Right?
Right. But there are, I guess because there are American citizens on soil, I guess maybe the United States can a little bit. They still have to go see if their citizens are okay.
Well, South America also might have, like, an,
right,
like
I don't really know.
Of, like,
yeah, I don't know. I didn't, I guess I should have looked that up, too, but I didn't. They can't touch him. He's not.
But if they have, like, an extra, you know what I'm saying, extraditing treaty,
yeah.
You know? Say it for me.
Extra, I can't now. Yeah. I can't now. You did. Got in my brain.
They could, like, if they can prove he committed a crime in America and then game there, I guess they could get involved.
Right. Yeah, but I don't know. We keep pausing and stopping, and I keep forgetting where I am.
Sorry.
It's okay. He starts preaching to his followers and setting paranoia into them.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So the only way that these followers are getting their news from the United States is through Jim.
Like,
they
of
don't
course.
Have TV.
Of
he,
course.
He has an intercom that he set up throughout the camp where he can boast news and whatever he wants to at any time of the day. So he's telling people that there are racists coming to take the children. So guns began getting smuggled into camp, and he sets up a security.
This is great.
Right. So he tells the security that we're keeping people here. Like, if they try to escape through the woods, because where they are, there is a town called Georgetown.
Oh my
God. Yeah. That they can escape to, that, and then they would get off the island, basically. They could, essentially. But there's no passports. There's no money. He's keeping people there. So these security guards are actually, you know, hurting their own people, essentially, so that they stay.
And nobody in the people is just like, wait a second. This is...
Well, word finally gets
so
back
gone
to the
far.
United States. So people who actually got out, because some people did save some of their own money, they actually did get out. They had to sign something stating that they wouldn't talk ill of Jonestown or of Jim. Now, you know that they went back and told. They,
well, yeah.
I wouldn't have. I'm not going to lie. What are they going to do to me?
You're going to do? Sue me? You're in South America.
So, in February of 1978, a meeting was called. All the people came to the pavilion, is what it's called, for an emergency meeting. Jones told his followers that the CIA was on them and soldiers were coming to attack in a matter of hours.
Jesus.
They were to kill everyone and take the children as hostage. That's how you get them. Tell them the children are going to be tortured.
The children.
Yes. Instead of giving satisfaction to the soldiers, he suggested to the followers that they should commit suicide. Large containers were brought out with dark liquid. It was Kool-Aid, so they didn't have a lot of drinks there. It was either water or they had Kool-Aid that they could mix into the water. Jim put his people in a line. told them to fill their cups and drink. Death would come in 40 minutes, and he forced several of them to drink, but most of his followers went along with it. Jesus. After everyone had drank, Jim says, "This was just a test and everyone is fine. You can have the day off." Yeah. So he tests his people. After Jim realized that he had full control over his followers, it was on. Like he felt like there was this high. He was on top of the world, basically.
Great combination.
Yes. Also, what I forgot to state earlier is they did tape all of their meetings. So all of this is on tape and you can listen to them. They're all on YouTube. I don't suggest listening to them if you are squeamish.
Oh, but God. What?
Everything was recorded. I watched one where a boy actually tried to escape and his own mother was like, "You should be murdered. Like, you need to be killed."
Oh, Jesus.
Because you try to go against us. I mean, these people were brainwashed. November 1978, U.S. Congressman Leo Ryan travels to Guyana to investigate that some members were being held against their will. November 17th, 1978, he arrives, and everyone was on their best behavior. There was a celebration, and people talked so highly of Jonestown and of Jim. Sometime during the day, a note was slipped to Leo that a few followers would like to go back with the congressman. You can watch this all on film, by the way. Like, this whole interaction was filmed, so you can watch everything.
Jesus.
Yeah. So the congressman agrees and even confronts Jones about about all the people that wants to go with him. Like, it was a handful of people. Like, it wasn't just one. It was several people that wanted to go back with him. Jones even states that anybody can leave with their free will, and it's fine with him. Two planes were scheduled to leave. One plane took off, but the congressman decided to stay back because there was no room on the first plane, and he wanted the people to be free. As he and a few of the followers were boarding the plane, security of Jones's pulls up and opens fire. Five people were shot and murdered. 11 were wounded. Among the dead was the congressman.
Ooh, damn.
So news gets back to camp. Jones finds out, and he calls a meeting right away. Calls a meeting. Jim told his people that he was going to save them from enslavement, because basically he told them that there was a person on the plane that was going to kill the pilot and would be blamed on them. And then soldiers would come, kill them all, and enslave their children. He told them it was time to drink the concoction. They were not committing suicide, but a revolutionary act is what he told his followers.
Oh, what is this revolutionary act?
Killing themselves.
But if it wasn't suicide, what would he call it? Just revolutionary. Yep. There was no grand name for it.
No. Basically, the reason why is because he didn't want the CIA to triumph over murdering them. Yeah. The children were first. There were over 300 children. Most of them were so young that they were held down and forced to ingest the Kool-Aid. Other people, including Jim's wife, were like, you know, I don't want to do this. Like, there has to be a different way. They were injected with the substance, and others willingly drank the Kool-Aid.
What was in it?
It was a mixture. It was a mixture of cyanide was one of them. I think that there was painkillers. There was a bunch of stuff, but I'm pretty sure cyanide was the biggest one.
Gotcha.
It was bitter. Because in one of the tapes that I listened to, the children are screaming, and they're like, they're not screaming because they're in pain. They're screaming because it's bitter. Yeah. Like, the tapes are rough. You listen to them at your own will. It's going to ruin your ear. Jim preached the entire time. Jim was one of two that was the only ones that were shot. Him and his mistress both shot a mistress, not one. He had, several.
Several, yeah.
One of his mistress and him were found with gunshot wounds to the head. So he was like, I'm not going to drink this shit. I'm just going to get it over with. Because, I mean, it had to have been agony. I mean, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you just drop over. Like, they felt that. The next day, forced troops came into Jonestown and found the bodies. Word gets out to the U.S., so investigators come. A week later, the body count is 909.
Jesus Christ.
Not all the bodies could be identified because it took a week to go through them all. So because of the high temperatures and, you know, because it's tropical, a lot of the bodies were really bad decomposed. Ugh. And several of them didn't go, hadn't been to the doctor in years because they had to devote all their time to the church. Several of them didn't have passports. I mean, they did, but they were all locked up. And by the time that they were able to determine who they were, you couldn't. So 409 bodies were never identified.
Jesus.
A mass grave in Oakland, California was created for these bodies. So there are 409 people in this mass grave who were never identified. That's just sad to me.
That is very sad.
May 11, 1979, all accounts with over $7.9 million was seized, along with all of his churches. The money was used to repay the victims' families. The events at Jonestown constituted as the greatest loss of American people. I'm sorry, American civilians. I'm so sorry. The events at Jonestown constituted the greatest loss of American
civilians.
Thank you. Lives in a deliberate act until 9/11.
Jesus.
Yes. So, I watched a documentary that was done by 60 Minutes, maybe. And there are actual survivors.
There are.
Not of the genocide, of course, but genocide is basically not what it was at all. But the massacre, that's what I was looking for. Some people got out the day that the congressman was there, and then while all this was happening, some people escaped through the jungle.
How many survived?
Not very many. I think it's the population started off as 1,000, and then 909 people died, so not very many people escaped. He has a child that actually survived.
Oh.
And he talks about the happenings.
Is he a charismatic child?
I don't really know. I don't know. I watched an interview with him. It was pretty interesting. He talked about how his dad essentially was an amazing man. I'm sure at one point in time he was, just drugs probably ate him up.
That's where you go south, people.
Just don't do drugs, people.
Don't do them.
But technically, I guess you can't consider this as a serial killer, but I do, because people were injected, people were forced. Like, I don't consider this as a mass suicide, I consider this as a mass murder.
This is kind of a heist and a slice, because he's kind of like a con man. But
yeah,
he didn't want, you know.
But what kills me is he did good. Like, he actually did good. I mean, he wanted churches to be integrated. He wanted children to have better lives. It's just somewhere he went dark.
Drugs.
Do it to you every time.
Don't do the drugs.
So that's Jonestown/Jamestown, apparently. It's a lot. There's more to this. There's a lot more people involved, but this is just Jim Jones. Yeah. So next week's the heist.
Yeah. No idea what I'm doing. Have a few ideas picked out. I just have to actually do the research. Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully. I don't think we're supposed to get any more snow. So I think.
Let's hope.
Good.
Hope everybody's staying warm.
Yep.
I know Texas is getting hit pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
Praying for you guys.
All right, well, bye.
We're not going to do our Instagram.
Ah, fudge. Yeah, do it.
We have an Instagram, Heist and Slice Podcast.
Yes.
And then, I question that every time. And then in an email and a Facebook, all Heist and Slice, about the same way here. Mm-hmm. And Shelby wants pictures of your animals.
Yeah.
It'll brighten her day.
It will. Especially with the plane in the snow.
Yeah. Sorry that this one's... All of our morning ones have been rough.
Yeah, we had Mexican food last night and took a nap.
Yeah, so, but we'll get back at it, guys.
Yeah.
Next week's going to be better.
Yes, it is.
Have a good day, night, wherever you are.